Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vic Slayton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting.
A very, very interesting man with many, many wise things to say.
We're just going to start the podcast on that. I'm not even going to do the intro. People can guess who you are based on that statement alone. Okay, welcome to the Comedy Arcade. Now, Sally, you've played before.
I was very drunk, so I actually don't really remember it.
Yeah, we saw about three rooms of Sally's house, and that is not a euphemism. But,
did we?
Yes. Have you forgotten this already?
Did I actually truly move?
You went from room to room because there was an echo in rooms.
Do vaguely remember that.
That's why the title of the show is My Floor is Clean, because you maintained that you're on a clean floor. I don't remember why that was relevant, but you were really pissed and it was a joy.
I had come from a day date that was really, really intense. And I don't actually... He was very anxious. He was very anxious. So I tried to calm him down. And I think I successfully did that, but I also got fucked in the process. And then of course I was like, oh, I'll just keep going.
It worked. I enjoyed it. And that is what this game is all about. It is my game. We've lost you. Sally's in repose in the funniest position possible. We'll talk to you, Rich, while we wait. How
Hello.
Are you? It's
I'm
Rich
right.
Wilson, everybody. Everyone's
Hello, everyone.
Favourite player.
Yes.
I know. We like to assume there's listeners, don't we?
There are listeners. So, I don't know how many, but there's some.
I could tell you exactly how many, but it hurts my feelings. We don't need to know that. It is more than 10 and less than 10,000. And that's all we need to say.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's all right. Those are figures we can work with.
You've not played for ages, though.
No, I just haven't been around. I've been running around, but here I am.
Busy and more successful. How rude.
Staking my claim for my position again.
I know, we did need to get you back. This is a 5-episode recording day for me, so I have no anecdotes, so you're going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting.
Okay, no problem at all. I'm sure we can find something to talk about.
I'm sure we will. Where did they go? They're in a caravan. For the listener, we had Sally Hodgkiss, a voice you will recognise from the last podcast, that ended with her agreeing to go out on a date with Ashish Suri. And apparently they did go on that date, and I'm going to ask her about it when they return to the call. And that's really fun because she's with her current boyfriend. So I think that's going to go quite well.
There we are.
No way this chat can go weird, is there?
No.
Do you reckon they're in a caravan, you see?
Yeah.
I thought they were on a boat. That's what we were covering when you joined the call.
Oh, I see. Why is my... I've got the screen. It's only tiny. It's in the corner, but it's gone really small.
I can see you.
Oh, I can't. Okay.
This is going to be...
see anybody else or do anything. What's going on there?
What are you doing?
Nothing. I literally just see myself.
Yeah. You're doing a squint as well. And then new glasses, so there's absolutely no excuse.
It's just gone all small. Why has it done that?
I can't see your screen, so I don't know.
Literally, in the top corner, it's just me. I've lost the rest of Zoom.
Well, we've lost two people. Apparently, the power's gone off in the caravan, so we'll just have to wait. We'll just chat amongst ourselves, Rich.
Okay, there we are.
So I think Rufus is in the circus.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Like, actually, that's not me being shady.
I'm pretty sure
there's some kind of circus element to this.
Was he Barnum or something like that?
I don't know. I don't keep track of his activities. I'm sure my mum would know, though.
Yeah, your mum will know.
I'm quite tempted to dial her in, just so she can face her abuser, as it were.
Yeah. So I don't know what we're going to do.
Here we go. We're back. Right.
I can't see anybody else. Why has it done that?
I knew this would... This is my fifth one of the day, and this is always going to be an absolute shambles.
Right.
Can you see anything, Rich?
Yeah, you're back.
This is like the weirdest seance ever. You keep disappearing. Rich can't see anything, and it's just sort of mumbling into the dark.
It's not the first time we sat there mumbling in the dark.
Well, indeed.
We're back.
Hopefully, we're back now.
Right.
All the caravan internet, all the electric went off in the caravan.
No.
Basically, we're powered by a diesel Jenny. And if that clicks out for any reason, we're off.
Welcome to the future.
Yeah. Mate, I'm telling you, I am pre-apocalypse ready. I've got spots to go. I've got a van. I've got a caravan. I am all good.
If I work hard at comedy, I too can achieve these lofty heights one day.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. It's all coming your way.
So, yeah, in one of my windows, I've got the brilliant Sally Hodgkiss, who had come from a date on the last one and then agreed to go on a date during the podcast that did not go well because, spoiler alert, that is not who the other person in the window is. We've actually got all-round comedy legend, recently ice skating, political commentator, Rufus Hound. Hi.
Hey, hey, hey. I've also recently come from a date.
Have you indeed? Yeah. With Sally or...?
With Destiny.
This is where we are already. Brilliant. All
there
right.
We go. Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
It's not even late, is it? There's no excuse for this. Anyway, right. So we've got our players in. We've got Rich. We've got Sally. We've got Rufus. I'm going to assume you all know how to play. Let's just go. Here goes the ball.
No, nothing about
assume
it.
Assume away. No, I'll get it. Can't be that hard.
I assume we haven't got all night.
Yeah, it's a podcast format. How hard can it be?
All right, cocky.
All right, okay. So we'll start off strong then. What's the weirdest DM you've ever sent or received?
Ooh. Weirdest?
Weirdest.
I don't know if I can say that on here. Might be discriminating.
Is this sent or received, Rich? immediately sprung to mind there.
You know when you've achieved a level of, I don't know, success, when you get a message from someone saying, what's your shoe size?
Oh,
that's when you know you've achieved something.
I've heard about this. Jenny Ryan was saying that a lot of people get in touch with her on Cameo and say it's for either a university piece of work or I'm a primary school teacher and the class wants to know,
yeah,
what is your shoe size or are your feet ticklish? It's like...
Your feet ticklish. All right.
It's actually, a classroom for the kids. Really want to know that.
I receive regular updates about a baby leopard gecko called Rufus.
That's cute.
There you go.
I mean, yeah, that is weird. You've taken it in a wholesome direction, and I appreciate that.
I was thinking genuinely weird because, you know, by this point, aren't we all at a stage in our lives where receiving basically anything sexual or weird or, you know, kind of pervy, sort of par for the course of being alive, really, isn't it? It's,
yeah,
basically, you know, one perv away from a virtual bus stop.
Yeah, but for the grace of God.
Like rats, you're only 10 metres away from a pervert at any one time.
That's it, yeah.
God, I've got a chicken named after me. That was a comedy bucket list item ticked off. Yeah. The Lovely Chapels rescue chickens and they name them after comedians. And I got allocated one about 6 months ago, and they brought me a framed picture of said chicken that is now up in my house with no context whatsoever. So I don't explain it. I just leave it there. It's the only picture in the house.
Amazing.
And the best part is the Chapels gave me 3 alternative images so I can cycle them. They're like, if you don't like this one, there are several other angles. I don't know what a good angle on a chicken is, to be honest. I might not be showing Chicks Leighton's best side.
What you've got to do is wait.
Chicks Leighton. Yes.
Not leaving. I mean, come on.
There's an Aisling beak as well.
Great.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, sadly, Jade Adams' chicken died recently, R.I.P. Jade Adams' chicken. And I think she was one of the oldest ones as well, so it was a sad moment for the Chapels. But Sally, what would your pun be if you were named, if you had a chicken named after you? It's not a natural fit, is it?
No.
I'm not sure the chicken's in your future, because I think the pun is essential to them. So what's the weirdest DM you've ever sent or received, Sally, dare I ask?
Shall I move away from my Robbie Coltrane problems, of which there are numerous?
We can revisit them.
Okay, well, we'll come back to Robbie Coltrane, because it won't be, although actually my university friends and I have a WhatsApp group, and funnily enough, the last conversation we had was trying to get £2,000 so that Robbie Coltrane will do me a cameo.
Is that how much he's charging?
Yeah, £2,000. Hey, it's a big deal.
Jeez. Will he dress as Cracker as part of that, or any role that you like?
No, it is specifically Cracker.
Okay. Is that what you'd want, or is that Cracker all he's offering?
No, it has to be Cracker. It can't be anything else. No. Nuns on the Run. No. Hagrid. No. It's Cracker. He's, you know.
I think we could crowdfund this.
I think we should. That would be my ideal outcome out of today.
Is this basically why you do podcasts, to get the message to Robbie Coltrane that you want to speak to him? You just want to talk.
Yeah, I do. But I would say the weirdest DM that I've ever had, I think, would be from my best friend, who he was dying of cancer. So this sounds like it's not going to be like a quippy anecdote.
Yes, let's mine this comedy gold.
Right.
Harrowing story. Yeah. Okay.
So all my anecdotes start with somebody I love dying. So this is my best friend, but he...
Is he still with us?
No, he's not.
Okay.
But he won't mind me... he won't mind me telling you, because he's dead.
It's what he would have wanted.
Yeah, it's what he would have wanted. Me absolutely dragging him through the shit, even when he's dead.
I thought that was going to go, to be honest.
No, you were still using the present tense. And I was like, there's going to be a happy ending to the story. But
he is no longer.
All right.
But he, because he was dying of cancer, he obviously knew that he was going. So we talked a lot about what he wanted after he had died, and like funeral arrangements, etc., etc. But he was an amazing artist, and he had designed these angel wings for this enormous tattoo on his back. And he was talking to me about how sad it would be that this beautiful piece of art would go when he did. And I was like, yeah, well, we've got photos, haven't we? And he went, will you take it? And what? I said, what do you mean, will you take it? And he said, why don't we cut it off? And then you can keep the design. And I was like, what do you think I'm going to do? Hang it in my fucking toilet as a talking piece when guests come around? But anyway, so...
The Shroud of Turin. You could just see the imprint like a tea towel.
You'd have to stretch it out as well, like a butterfly.
Exactly.
Like the character Zoe Wanamaker played in season 3 of Doctor Who.
Just, wow. Yeah, we went there. We went there.
Right.
Of which there are many listening to this show. Yeah. I don't know how I'm on this Venn diagram, but I am, and I'm happy with it, so it's fine.
You're facilitating it.
I am. It's so you've said no, right?
So yes, I absolutely said no.
You denied a dying man's wish. Why telling me.
Right. Doesn't matter how much you love a person, you do not want their back skin. Why would you want their back skin?
Sew it into a cushion? I genuinely...
You could make a book out of it. I mean, these were all real things. He genuinely said you could make it into a book. A
pair of child's trousers. You get a wing down either leg.
That's true. And they would be water resistant, wouldn't they?
There you go.
It would work. But anyway,
Wow. Now, of course, you're starting to feel silly for not taking it.
Right, I do now. I wish I'd have spoken to you at the time.
Yeah.
So you just said no then.
Yeah, I said no, but the DM he sent me at a later date, because he also would never let things drop. This was one of the things he never let drop.
That you can print out and put in your bathroom, because that is funny.
Yes, that's true.
Somebody can embroider that on a cushion.
He DM'd me with photographs of books that were bound with skin.
What? Is that real? Can you do that?
That's real, yeah.
Don't get ideas, Rich. This ain't a thing. Just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's okay.
I think the irony of me being like the binding for a dictionary or something like that would be hilarious.
Oh, it would be a looker's guide to Vans, Rich. You know it would.
Yeah, the best trainers.
Live the life that you dare to dream in death. But that was indeed a selection of weird DMs. Well done, everyone. Rich, you didn't really, you kind of sidestepped yours. I feel like you need another opportunity now. Now you've heard the caliber of the stories, because you often win because of favouritism. But I've got to tell you, it's not looking good for you on the points now, straight off the bat.
No. I am, to be honest, I haven't really sent anything that weird, to be real. And I've been off my head at times.
Weren't you talking on stage about watching a video of a man dressed as a fox fucking the other day?
Yes.
That you came across by accident.
I didn't even Google it. It just popped up.
That's never happened to me.
It's a lot about my algorithms.
In your recommendations.
Yeah. Oh, if you like this, you'll love this. Obviously, you know, in our moments, we look at all manner of weird things online. And there was a man. They're called, I can't remember what they're called. They're not Furbies, are they? Or whatever they are. But they're dressed as animals, and then they have sex parties and things like that. And you're like, how do you even know?
Furries.
Is it furries?
Yeah, I think so.
But imagine that. Like, you see the foxes in your bins, and you're like, yeah, I'll have a bit of that. It's just bizarre. There's like badgers and frogs. And
yeah. So what we're saying is, Rufus, you keep your little namesake animal away.
Sure. Yeah.
Who knows?
I wish I hadn't worn this full dog costume now.
Get a bit turned on, to be honest.
Is it anatomically correct? Don't stand up. I don't want to know.
Massive testicles.
Oh, God. Okay. All right.
I've received weird. Oh. What was that? I've received weirdness, but.
Okay.
But I haven't. It's always a sort of. Yeah, like we're like the weird that what we was the weirdest one was like, what shoe size are you?
That's not even that weird.
You've
got to try harder. You've got to put up.
like Rupert said, it's like we're at that point now where these things are just kind of whereas, you know, years ago we were covering up the legs of pianos. So
we're living in a post-kink world. It's gone too far.
Someone sends you a picture of their penis and you're looking around it to see if there's any like redeeming features for the fella. Like, not weird. Let's have a look how you live. Oh, I guess you're all right. you've got kitchen roll. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you've got some respect there.
Is it on the roll, though? Because I care about that.
Oh, yeah, but it's just on the side.
Yeah, that's not acceptable. I won't put it on the roll myself, but I will judge others. Right, okay.
Next. Go on the cones, get.
What?
Has anyone seen the cones? Saw them on telly the other day, advertised, and then saw them in a shop. Comes like a little tower, like a little, what would we say now? The chorus of Aladdin's hats shape.
Right.
Like a tower of those.
For what?
A kitchen towel, and you basically take, like, it just like pops off and then becomes a sheet of kitchen roll.
Oh, is this a real thing? I thought you were just doing a bit.
No.
Yeah, me too. I was like, where's the punchline? Is this porn? Like, what?
You started that as though it was a joke.
I thought, that's a gear shift.
I don't know. It seems to me, are you trading convenience for paucity of kitchen roll? That's what I worry about.
Wow.
Rufus bringing it back to wholesome yet again.
That's why I wanted to know if anyone had to go on one.
Forgive me
for using this public platform to provide people an opportunity to learn that such a product exists. And it may yet come with a ringing endorsement from Vic Layton, or yep. from Rich Wilson. We didn't know, as it turns out. A non-starter, a non-sequitur, which the editor, I'm sure, will make fine work of.
Oh, no, I'm leaving it in. It all stays in, this whole right. thing, including that time you weren't here and we were wondering what was going on.
It's just us wittering.
Let's face it, that was the best bit, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Us wittering at each other. That's going to be fun.
So I rolled the balls while you were talking about kitchen roll. And it's worst jobs now. It's my favourite. Rich, you've got an endless supply of these. There's no job you haven't done.
The worst job was working in a banana. I worked in a banana packing factory for 2 weeks. I worked for Fife's Bananas. And it was awful. So, and
considering you've worked in a gay sauna, this is your worst job is a bold claim.
Because working in the sauna and anyone having sex next to you live, regardless of sexuality or gender or anything like that, human beings having sex next to you is weird. And so you kind of have to, you don't know what to do. So you're just like, all right, lads, and you're like tussling their hair and then moving on. I don't really know. You're just kind of tidying up around them. Not necessarily the worst job I've ever had, but it's the most unusual.
Yeah, quite. They seem to be crying out with some kind of toilet roll solution that doesn't require human input, though.
A lot of kitchen roll gets used in those environments.
Heavy ply situation.
Yeah, oh god, yeah, you definitely need your cones then. but there, the banana, because no one wants to be there. Everyone, it's the last job on the list, isn't it? It's that, and then there's no jobs left. It's like, you know, no one goes through school going, I can't wait to work in the banana packing factory. Well, they're very similar to the gay sauna. It was just that. And then the biggest joke, like you'd have these peak caps, and the biggest joke was someone would turn around every day, someone different with a banana on their cap, and go, who threw that? And that was the highlight of the day. And 2 weeks of that, and I'm like, I just stopped going.
Did you get paid for it, or did you just fuck it off to the level? No, you were like, I just... Off,
yeah, they got 2 weeks of banana packing for free. what would happen is that they turn up, they go, right, these ones are for Harrods, say. So you'd have to really pick through and make sure there's no spiders in them and all this sort of thing. And then when you got to like Asda, you didn't even bother looking in the crate.
Good luck, Asda.
Yeah, good luck with that. I'm assuming bananas, I'm not even opening the lid.
Coming somewhere that career path didn't work out. And
no,
then
I know.
Based on that solid gold comedy foundation, you thought, I'm going into comedy. Like, if this is what people find funny, there is a niche for me.
I'm sure I'll find it. Yeah.
So, Rich, tell me, at any stage during that 2 weeks, did anybody shout, Dale? Anyone? Anyone at all?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's the level you're working at.
Man.
That was an open goal. Like
there was a very much a feeling of when I see like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and I see them, that's exactly what it was like in the factory, because you don't want to be there. There was one lad that used to drive the forklift trucks and he was really funny. Like he'd always be dicking around, but he'd obviously just fucked up every opportunity he'd ever had. And now he works in this banana factory. But he was the king of the place because he was so funny. But
did you have to work hard to get that job, though?
Did
to
I?
Drive the forklift? No, was that the top of the hierarchy?
I dream of driving the forklift. That was, not many people achieved that level of greatness.
And we're still searching for that.
Yeah, oh, God, that's the highest achievement. To be able to drive the forklift, come on, man.
It's like rolling the TV in from the library.
Yeah, a chance for greatness that very few people achieve, unfortunately. But no one ever said Deo. It didn't even occur to me. You're so pissed off that you're there.
All joy is quashed.
You know, I don't care about sunshine and happier places. I just want to be killed. I hate this place.
It's okay. You're safe now.
Yeah, I'm out.
Sally, have you done any bad jobs?
No. Well, I mean, really, the worst job I ever had was I worked in a pub in Fulham. And the reason it was the worst job I ever had was because it was in Fulham. Now, yes. I live in Fulham, but the people there are twats and they're fucking rude. I remember at the end of one shift, a woman stopped me and she said, "You shouldn't dress like that because I can see all your back fat." So, nice, right? So I kind of, to begin with, I was very good and I just sort of took some degree of shit, a little bit of shit. And then I realized that everybody that came in was a knob. So I thought, well, all right. So I started licking dinner plates. Well, because I used to do it at university. I worked in a pub at university. But the difference there was when my friends were dicks to me, I would lick the rim of their Guinness and hand it to them without breaking eye contact.
Whereas, you're a psychopath.
No, I know. Look, I don't know why you bring me on here.
Rufus, run. There's a window behind you. Just get out of there.
If I weren't chained to this seat, I would have done.
Bad news, I'm afraid. She's licked all your plates. What have you into? Yeah. It's none of my business.
Yeah, I used to lick plates. I didn't do anything super great. It was mainly just my saliva.
That's pretty gross, mate.
I don't want to gob in it. There's something inelegant about just spitting somebody's plate.
Oh,
so if you kind of gently dribble like it's raspberry Kool-Aid.
Just keep it classy. There's a daub on this plate.
I think so. Just a little bit.
Come, I won't fucking kill you.
Right.
I remember I worked in a bed shop. I was delivering bedroom furniture, and one of the delivery drivers that dropping some stuff off, and he was really rude to my van boy, like properly horribly rude. So we made him a cup of tea, and then I got my van boy to like properly gob in his tea.
Oh.
And it was like a proper schoolboy grolly, if you will.
Oh. Yeah. And
wanted them to know that you'd done it, but only after you'd made a swift getaway, or
went off. I went do this, and he went fuck yeah. And I heard him in the toilet go, like, really horrible.
You're a horrible man.
As the guy was drinking it, I was like, And then he went, "That's the best cup of tea I've ever had."
No. Oh, that is just. That's so upsetting. I'm never gonna. We spend a lot of time together, and I really worry about that. I'm gonna have like licked plates and bad tea now. Rufus, have you got anything more?
Awesome
or worse?
£20.
What?
But let me tell you about some kitchen roll.
He's on commission, guys.
Yeah. By the end of this, one sheet, I'm telling you.
Yeah. And then we can afford curtains for our caravan windows.
Is it actually, is that a rental caravan? Do you own it? What's the vibe there?
I'm currently employed as a circus ringmaster.
Like Barnum?
Sure.
Basically what I'm going for. Growing the big curly moustache and...
P.T. Barnum style, yep. It's working. That's a good vibe for you.
I walk around in a top hat and jumpers and a coat, you know.
And then you go to work. Is it like an adult circus or like an old Victorian freak show? What's the vibe? I know what I'm picturing. I'm just wondering if it's correct.
Based on my look, how kind of you. It is, you know, it's a proper, straightforward, £8 a ticket, family, love it, big, noisy, funny, fun, lovely circus.
It is brilliant.
Thanks.
Oh, see, you're advertising stuff again.
Yeah.
No one wants to go to your circus. I do, actually. I would quite enjoy that, I reckon.
Well, we're in Tamworth and then Exeter, and then we're in Newquay all summer,
and then Leybourne
in October.
It's a travelling. You've literally run away to the circus. You're living my dream.
I got so sick of just the world, and I phoned this bloke, and we've sort of had a bit of a, you know, like when you two mates crush on each other. And yeah, by the end of that, he'd offered me the full tour with his family circus as their trainee ringmaster, because his mum had said that his brother was already the ringmaster, so they couldn't out-off him.
Oh, wow. And
literally, up until then, I was like, hang on, motherfucker, I'm Rufus Hound. And the moment he said his mum had said it was, I was like, yeah, all right, fair enough, I get it.
You can't argue with mums.
No, that's it. Absolutely not. Wouldn't dream of it. So, no. Yeah.
How do you graduate? What's the graduation point?
Oh, I got a promotion a couple of weeks ago. I'm now head of production, which is very sweet.
Oh.
Because what I think we're going to try and do over the coming years, possibly, is really take it from... They basically care a lot, very deeply, about it being really good. And there's so much that they really take care of. But because of how circus is traditionally done, what's interesting is that people who earn money out of circus always come from outside of circus and then, you know, scoop it up and then make a load of money doing it.
Well, like a TV personality coming in as like an understudy ringmaster and suddenly escalating through the ranks. So.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Right?
I'd watch this film, but you wouldn't be the hero.
No. They've already made it. It's called Nightmare Alley. No, the point is that this family have run this circus for 206 years. So I absolutely am not setting up my own circus outside of their thing. I really am looking at it as I want to take, because it's always people from outside that do well. And everyone, they're left kind of keeping it going. And they feel like circus has got quite a bad rap. When people think about British circus, they think of it being a bit crap and a bit cheap and a bit dirty and a bit disappointing. And they're knocking their arsehole out, trying to put on the absolute best show they can. And I said to them, like, you're only charging £8 a ticket. Anyone paying £8 a ticket will pay £9 a ticket. Just put the ticket prices up. And they're like, no, absolutely not. Like, a family of four coming to a circus, like, it's one of the few things people can still afford to do. And honestly, I mean, I'm fucking earning tuppence doing this, but there is nobody I would rather be working for. Like, you get a straight answer from somebody on the day. They've got all the ambition in the world. They work their absolute bollocks off. They couldn't have been kinder, more welcoming to me, my kids, the works. I absolutely love it to pieces. It isn't like living in the real world at all, but I don't want to live in the real world. The real world's full of absolute shitheads. So, no. I mean, we've had this like, entire time. I don't think we've mentioned the Queen once. You know, entrenched privilege means nothing when you're trying to hold down a fucking circus in a 30-mile-an-hour wind, trust me.
You're right, though. You could lift probably all of the acts from the circus, drop them in Phoenix Arts Centre and charge £40 for it, and people would pay it. Because...
Oh, without question.
But there's all sorts of things we could do. The point is, they want it to be a traditional circus, just done really well. And the problem is that because they don't have a background in like theatre and comedy and how things have shifted in terms of like what the audience perception is of what a slick transition is from one scene to another, or how you introduce something, or that you might not choose to go with ladies and gentlemen. You might choose for something that doesn't then become a whole statement and a thing and then put another... Because the point about circus is it's for absolutely everyone. So you don't want to, you've got to be aware of what the other side is thinking so that you can bring them, everyone in, without then making them feel like you're getting at them. So
this is a very, no, I would watch this film. Right, I take it back. I take back everything. I've given you loads of points. I'm very into it.
Well, it's a perfect film that you start off going, who's this fucking wanker? And then it turns... And you go, oh, actually, he saves the day. Everyone loves that film. It's a great film. Yeah.
It's like if it was a rom-com and it's a PR person that's been sent to a local village to get the power plant in, and then they turn on, they work for the villagers.
Yeah. You love that.
Who would play you in the film, Rufus? Or would it be you?
Honestly, have you seen Nightmare Alley?
No. Should I?
Oh, it's so fucking good. But there's a problem, right? There's two things I've watched where people join an either fairground or circus. And one's Nightmare Alley, and the other isn't quite actually what I just said, but is Jerusalem. And both pieces of art, increasingly, I feel, is basically just actually becoming my life. And there's a bit of a crossroads here. And at one end is Nightmare Alley, so in which case I'm played by Bradley Cooper. And at the other end is Jerusalem, in which case I'm played by Mark Rylance. In both cases, I think that's probably who the casting director sets out with and ends up with Bradley Walsh and, or Alice Cooper.
Would that be so bad?
Interesting, still interesting.
Yeah.
Rich, who would play you in a film?
Ah, well,
I'm just introducing categories now. I've lost sight of why we're doing this.
Well, alive or dead, anyone?
Yeah.
Oliver Reed.
I knew you were going to say that.
Think, yeah, or Ronnie Corbett.
Yeah, I can't see from one to the other in the way I could with Rufus's evolution there. Too, not like a Bob Hoskins type character. You give me like Bob Hoskins energy, but in a slightly, but like a better looking package. I felt like I had to caveat that quite quickly. I saw your face.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's funny when Mamma Mia 2 came out and I can't remember where I was, and I just had this, I still had this like French workman's jacket and a cravat and this hat on. And then someone said to me, "Have you seen Mamma Mia 2? And I was like, "No." And then Andy Garcia is just dressed as me. Oh, right. Like, right, I'll take that. That's fair. That's Andy Garcia, man. You can't.
There you go. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm like a squashed version of Andy Garcia.
Yeah, if we made you on like Microsoft PowerPoint and just dragged the corner down a little bit, that's what would happen. Right, Rich, I'm going to sub you in now. I want Kate.
Yeah?
Yeah. This has been really fun, but I've had enough of you now. New player unlocked. I don't normally get to do this.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, ooh, so... Oh, God.
Sorry, that was... We were just being a bit gross and cute.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to cover my ears, but I had headphones, which just made it worse. Like, that was
expensive.
Hey!
Hi. I was going to say that Sal's obviously in the film.
All right. So played by? We're talking about who would play who in films. So.
Okay. Zippy. It can't be a person. It would have to be, or like Lamb Chop. You don't remember that puppet?
This is quite a different film you're proposing to Rufus's beautiful story of how he saved a family circus and somehow Zippy is involved. Okay. I mean,
Tilda Swinton was right there. Like, literally right there. Yeah, but
I'm being realistic. Tilda would never play me, but I think a puppet would.
I just said Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, like, but you're famous. I'm not famous.
Maybe Bradley's carrying the movie, Tilda's showing up.
Yep, oh, maybe.
So you'd have Bradley Cooper, like, snogging Zippy from Rainbow. That's the film in your dream, dream casting. Who would play you in a film, Kate? Let's move this away from whatever's happening in that window.
Well, I've been told in the past that I look like Kate Winslet.
I could see that, yeah.
I would have her play me because she's a better actress than me. And she'd probably do a better job of my life than I do of my life. So, Kate Winslet.
All right. That's a great casting. Brilliant choices. I would watch this film. Right. So, the lovely Kate McGann has joined us. Comedian, actor. Am I missing any other accreditations?
Cripplingly embarrassing.
You were right. Honestly, it's like having two teenagers at the back of the cinema, Kate. This is like
the caravan. They're giddy.
Yeah, I mean, they're giddy for some reason. We won't speculate why. Yeah, so comedian, actor, general all-around cool person.
Yeah, sure.
Amazing.
Entrepreneur,
speaker. Ask Rufus about the pyramid scheme he's doing where he sells cones for kitchen roll. It's a multi-layer marketing hun scheme that we're setting up.
Can we just check if Kate has indeed tried the cone kitchen roll?
No, I think you should Dragon's Den it.
It already exists. No, this isn't his invention. He's just, for some reason, unknown to all of us, trying to sell it really hard.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to ascertain if anyone's had a go on one.
All right, you don't want to buy it without somebody else's review. I see. You're just asking everyone. Like, yeah.
It's just like, it's just low-level witch magazine.
Okay, I do work, my day job's working for Hot UK Deals, so I probably could put this on the forum and get a really comprehensive view for you. I'll drop it tonight. I'll let you know how it goes.
Thank you, Lacey.
Right, let's go. Right, I would like your controversial opinions.
Oh, God.
Oh, generally?
Yeah. Sally, you can go first. You seem to be the spokesperson.
No, I have no controversial opinions.
Is that because you back them all so strongly that you don't believe they could possibly be controversial because they're the only version of the truth?
No, it's not. It's because I'm an entirely pathetic person that hates conflict. So even if I thought something controversial, I would try and vanilla it up in my brain.
You can do that.
In case it fell out of my mouth and I said something that people would disagree with me, and then I'm not very good at conflict.
Some controversial opinions we've had in the past, just to get you in the zone for it.
Okay.
Somebody told me earlier that they didn't think pandas belonged in the bear family because they let bears down and they had no purpose. That was a bold one.
Is that incorrect?
Yeah. Esith Sears doesn't like the Muppets Christmas Carol. And that went down very badly.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That is exactly, yeah. And somebody said basically that there was no point in the ocean and that it should be done away with. And that we all let that go. But as soon as someone came to the Muppets, we were like, absolutely fucking not. No.
Yeah.
Get off the panel. I haven't booked her since. And she used to be a core member of the team. I just can't look at her the same way.
I was sat here trying to conjure up a genuinely controversial opinion. Would you like something lighter?
I mean, do you know what? I could sell it to press and it would really help this podcast out. So go for your life. Give me your worst opinion. Give me your worst.
Do it.
Here we go then. Ready? I think Prince Andrew should get away with it.
That is genuinely...
What? And I'll tell you why. I've deliberately put that in the most controversial way possible. God. No, in the most horrifying way possible.
I've just turned my back on it.
Rightly so. No.
Are you a big fan of Pizza Express?
No. It's because if you're going to have a monarchy, then I think absolutely, you should be able to kill people in the street. You should be able to throw children into threshers. You should be able to launch horses into, you know, walls. We should be able to do nothing about it because that is the point of a monarchy.
Okay. Like,
they should be beyond law and reason.
Right. Now,
the fact that we have one and that should be the standard, and indeed that level of privilege then extending to a church that most people now don't believe that, you know, that wouldn't ascribe themselves to, when you look at how the establishment is wired up to share that power base, as was divvied up, you know, like 800 years ago or whenever all that stuff happened, like, that's the thing to be truly horrified by. But all of the time you kind of lose sight of, like, oh no, but he was sweaty, he wasn't sweaty, and this and the other. It's like, take 3 steps back and look what's really going on. But all the time we've got one, absolutely, be kidnapping,
lawless,
be kidnapping just put common people and hauling them into your castle. Let's have, like, you know, lightning strikes and their screams lightening up the night sky.
Listeners, Sally is edging away slightly, just indicating with the shoulder. Maybe she's not on board with this view.
Oh no, I am. I'm on board with the secondary view.
Yeah.
As ever, we've gone an interesting avenue. But what you've done, you've hooked people with that, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I love what you've done there. Yeah.
Appalling.
But it was. What's your most controversial opinion?
I know it was.
I was just trying to play the game.
I know. And you did very well.
This is not live, though. I could edit that however I wanted. And
it's cancelled.
I would never.
especially as before this, you said, I don't edit it at all.
Well, yeah, unless it serves my purpose. I don't know if you heard, my day job is PR. This is where we find out what kind of person I am. Right, Kate, now you've heard some, we've gone all over the map. What is your controversial opinion? I still rate the Muppets as the more controversial. You haven't won that, Rufus.
That's like desperately upsetting because I think that was my first love. The Ghost of Christmas Present was like my first ever crush.
I mean, can we bring Rich into the frame again?
You can see why. I just
come in, man, and know me better.
I love a jolly man. So who lives for a day? I think my controversial opinion. I hate McDonald's. I think it's awful.
As a principle,
it's everything. It's disgusting. Also, I've never had a KFC.
Aren't you a vegetarian?
I am.
Well, that's. I think we can get to the root cause of why you don't like these restaurants.
Yeah. It's not that controversial, is it? It's just because it's a terrible place.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, God. We ate a vegan McPlant and it was like eating a shoe.
Rich was raving about that.
Burger King.
The Burger King one.
Ah, right. So now Burger King, yes. McDonald's, no.
McDonald's, no.
Can I offer your listeners a steer on the McPlant?
Yeah.
For those of you who are vegan and have more money than sense or just want a McDonald's, if you take out the tomato, the lettuce and the burger sauce as a custom, and then when you go, after you've ordered, go to the counter because they put different onions in a Big Mac than they put in a cheeseburger. They put dehydrated onions in a cheeseburger. So you have to ask for the cheeseburger onions, not the Big Mac onions. But then what you get is actually a pretty bloody good approximation of a McDonald's cheeseburger. And if you like cheeseburgers best on a McDonald's menu, which you should if you're right thinking, that's how to get that.
And then if you want to clean your hands afterwards, perhaps reach for a cone-shaped kitchen towel.
It's like, I was listening, but I was also Googling it because I couldn't picture it in my mind.
It is real. You've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Right.
You've got an ally now.
We need you to buy them, Kate. We need you to report back.
Yes, absolutely. And that's how I like my ice cream. And then you use it to wipe up. Perfect.
One of many uses.
Where it's a little hat.
Yeah. For the very pointy nippled amongst you. Absolutely. If you want to go on a sunbed, that's a perfect.
Always. Yeah, but on a sunbed, you wouldn't be able to shut it.
How big do you think these cones are?
And also, how much structural integrity do you think kitchen rolls got?
Well, if it's wound tightly a lot.
How are we talking about kitchen roll again? Like, what?
That was absolutely my fault.
None of these topics are about kitchen roll, and yet that keeps coming. This is the topic that keeps coming back. Right, I'm going to roll the ball and collect my thoughts. Right, okay. A thing that you once believed is absolutely not true. This can be personal or general.
God, I've got loads of things.
Come on, then.
I thought that the word for TV remote was padonga till I was about 13. Because it was the word my parents used, but they never corrected me, ever.
So you're just out in the world asking for the padonga.
Yes, but they... because they're bastards, would say remote when we were in public. They just let me do that. I also couldn't say my name, so I used to call myself I, and they didn't tell me that was wrong either. So again, off I went, sounding like a twat.
This is questionable parenting, Sally.
I forgot what the question was. was the question?
Things you believe that turned out to not be true.
But there are, hang on, I'll leave it with me. There are loads.
My dad used to make up rules to like board games. So for years, I never really knew the rules to like Monopoly or any game because he would always manufacture it. So he won against children. It's fine. I have a therapist now. It's fine. So for years, when I'd play Monopoly with like, other people or play a different game, I'd say, oh, yeah, well, of course, you've landed on that. So that means I have to give you £200. And they'd go, no, like, I don't.
Oh, is this why we're all in comedy? Yeah. My dad once had our whole street believing that the covers for electric plug sockets were to stop the electric escaping from there. And he had the whole street buying them because everyone's like, oh, my bills have been quite high. Like, genuinely, deadpan, this rumour got out. The whole of our neighbourhood believed it. And yeah,
I
don't know how many people actually got corrected.
Well, that's Wales for you.
This is before the internet. It's pre-internet world where you couldn't Google things. Like, you could go to the library and get an encyclopedia out, but...
I think this question does just open up all of the lies that your parents told you as an answer, doesn't it?
I've just got loads more.
My mum's maiden name was Gittins. And as such, we were given the impression as children, my brother and I, that the word git, if you call something a git, that was basically like dropping the C-bomb. Like, you absolutely didn't do it. And then at about the age of 9, do you remember Harry Enfield's sketch program? Yeah. You know, it was absolutely, everyone had those characters, the two old gits.
Yeah.
And they flashed like the title of the sketch before. Well, this thing flashed up to old gits. Me and my brother looked at each other like, oh! And we couldn't work out why the world hadn't ended. Like, you know, why this thing. And it, honestly, it was up until, even that like kind of came and passed. And I think it was like literally up until I was about 20 or something that I realized, oh, it's a thing you could almost get away with on children's television, but it sort of seems to me like it's still
and yet you have the foulest mouth of anybody I've ever met.
So what's the origin of the actual term git, though? Is it one of those where it's surprisingly harrowing, or
is it like an acronym?
I don't know, what does it mean,
git?
Yeah.
It's just like a bit of an annoying, like, probably interchangeable with bit of a prick, bit of a git.
Mm. Right. It's like, if I looked it up in the Urban Dictionary, are we going to find out that it's like, it is awful? Because that's happened to me a few times where I'm like, no, this is one of the lower level swear words. It's like, oh no, rooted in something very bad. All right.
I just remembered loads more. Oh, my mum, and I really need to ring her because I think she's done some real damage.
There might be some you still don't know that you're still waiting to uncover.
So I used to think that if I did not say the last thing I said to her at bedtime was, I love you, she would be dead before the morning. I don't know what she would have said for me to believe that. But I really thought that that was true. And I didn't test it till I was about 17. And then she didn't die, so it was fine.
I'm giving you points, but I don't think I'm giving you them for the right reason.
She wouldn't let me put coins near my mouth, but not because I would swallow them. Because dirty men had touched them.
Yes, my mum. Well, that is true, though.
I know, but like, just the idea of dicks on pennies. I can't. I still that.
I don't think it's dicks on pennies. It's dicks, hands on dicks, and then hands
then on the pennies.
I can't. That.
But you did. You did miss the revelation, Kate, that Sally licked plates in a pub she worked in because she didn't like the customers. So
I love that. I used to work in a very famous coffee shop chain, and I did. Yeah,
what did you do?
Just licked the side of their mug and stuff.
Mate. See, it's not just me. There's an elegance about it, Kate, isn't there? I think.
Or like sort of like wipe it around the bin and then just give it to
And we wonder how COVID was so widespread so quickly.
No, it's so weird, isn't it? I tell you, I did. It's like that superstitious thing, like not telling your mum goodnight. Like I still can't walk across three drains.
I don't like being crossed on the stairs. And superstition is weird.
Superstitious about stuff. But I did a podcast the other day, and I was telling this story, and I mentioned my friend Sarah, and then I sent it to her, and I said, "Oh, I'll talk about you on this podcast," and she went, "Yes, it's good, but none of the facts are right." And I was like,
"Oh my god, what was that pertaining to?"
So when we were 18, she dated Dave, the guitarist from the Killers. And we were like hanging out with the Killers like before their gig in Brighton, when they first played in Brighton. So this is when we were 18, right? Years ago. And then I always thought in my head.
And how old was the guitarist of the Killers at the time?
Not 18.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
A little bit older. But anyway, her uncle is Robert Smith from The Cure. And in my head, I don't know where I got this story from, but I always thought that she met Dave from the Killers through her uncle because they supported the Cure at some point. Transpires that that's not how it happened at all. And I went, well, how did you meet him then? Like, how did you end up meeting the Killers? And she went, oh, at a Strokes party. I was like, well, that's even cooler. I should have said that.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, just the conventional way, how everyone meets.
Like, how yeah. apart from another band's party.
Sure.
What? I have so many questions. But I just, like, went on a podcast and just did this whole, like, tall tale that didn't exist. And I was like, sorry about that.
I love it. Complete bollocks. Fake news. And it's out there now forever. There'll be no retraction.
I know. And hopefully I should maybe get people to listen to this to like... So I can find my problem, my issue. But yeah.
Come for Rufus Hound's hot take. Stay for the slight amendment to a last podcast. Well, that is the end. We could carry on all day, but it's been a while now. And and it's
so long,
it's,
if anything.
It's going to be a complicated edit, this one. So.
It's going to be about 10 minutes long.
There was a period where the caravan was dark because all the electricity went off. So that happened. That was while you were away. It's a roller coaster, and it is an audio sensation for the listener who experienced none of this, and we didn't explain it. So, but nonetheless, it'll probably go out anyway. So, Kate will, while I'm adding up the scores, it won't take long. Where can we find you? Kate McGann, comedian, artist, actor, extraordinaire.
I am
liar about Sarah.
Liars about bands. That's what I'm my niece.
Are you pop bitch? Is this like where we find out Gossip Girl?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that you? Yeah. Just
hashtags. So I am at Exmouth Market on Tuesday, doing a lovely little gig there called Humour Heads. And then I've got a few other bits and pieces and online. I do Instagram. I'm not on Twitter. I don't like Twitter. It's horrible.
Okay, cool. So what are you on Instagram? Just Kate McGann?
At McGannarang. It's like Bangarang from Hook.
Yeah. Yeah. Rufio. Oh. Rufio. Yeah. There what? We go. We're all around the same what? Age. Did you ever take on that nickname, Rufus?
It's been shouted at me a few times, but it's never stuck, sadly.
Would you have liked it to?
Well, I just think it's more syllables than just roof. So, you know what I mean?
You don't have the red spiky hair. So.
There are a number of ways in which I fail. and I think as a person, I'm increasingly more like Captain Hook than I am one of the Lost Boys. So.
I think it looks like TikTok from Return to Oz. You do, because your moustache is the best. Because he's got the same colour eyes and your moustache is the exact same shape.
Yeah.
See? Suddenly your zippy casting is making a lot more sense because they'd be a lovely couple.
Wouldn't they?
I think so. Yeah. Spherical heads.
So Tilda Swinton, Bradley Cooper, TikTok and Zippy. Like, find yourself a gal that can do both. Where can we find you, Sally? What are you doing with your life at the moment?
Well, when I'm
in
not,
a caravan,
hanging around in a caravan.
Yes, when I'm not hanging around a Rufus Hound in a caravan. So I am doing a performance art piece at Gunnersbury Park Museum this coming week for an exhibition called Listen. Following that, I've just sort of got gigs around London. I'm doing Glastonbury and the Astrolabe tent.
Nice.
So Stephen Frost Impro All Stars, if you want to see that. Doing Edinburgh Impro All Stars and a few other things, including this show and bits in between, but probably just being in a caravan with you.
Are you going to take the caravan to Edinburgh?
No, the caravan will be in Newquay.
That's right. Because I actually live in it, is the problem with that, you see. Yeah. It makes it a bollock of a commute.
But you could earn about £1,000 a day based on how much Edinburgh accommodation costs. You could fit a lot of people in there.
Yeah.
Would pay it. Yeah. They could generate the electricity for you as well. You could put them to work.
We had 9 people in here earlier, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And then you left, and then I cooked a roast dinner for
you. Well, you said you were cooking a roast, but in a caravan. Well,
I did a roast in a caravan, surrounded by about 7 children.
I don't know why that's the point I'm stuck on out of the whole 60-minute odyssey we've been on. It's the idea of a roast dinner being cooked in a caravan, but here we are. Rufus, you're in a circus.
I am in come and see Paulo's Circus, which is currently in
Pontefract.
Thank you, Pontefract. But will be in Tamworth, then Exeter, then Newquay, then Leybourne until the beginning of November, and then maybe additional weeks after that. Who knows? But currently, that's the plan, Stan.
Will you ever come back to civilization, or have we lost you forever?
It's increasingly unlikely. What started off as, well, let's just see, is quite rapidly becoming, oh, I see. Imagine that old bloke you meet in a pub in his 80s, who suddenly tells you a story about the time he was a stand-up and the time he was an actor, and then he was a circus ringmaster. And then, you know, at some stage I've got to like invent a clockwork woodpecker or something, and then, you know, I don't know.
Find a real boy.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know exactly how it's going to unpack, but yeah, I think circus ringmastering might be it for a bit.
Baz Luhrmann to direct. Yep, could buy that. Well, Sally, you're my winner because you have been absolutely hilarious again.
Yes. What I'm learning from this is I really need to go back into therapy, I think. I thought I'd completed it. I don't think that's true.
So level complete.
Yeah, I'm not beating the boss yet.
The win has come at quite a heavy cost, is what I understand. But it was almost a draw if we took it as teams. So, what's Rich doing, Kate? You probably know better than him.
He's staring at me from the other side of the
okay.
room.
Okay, are you going to, is he going to hove into view? Yeah, there he is. Hi.
Hello.
What are you doing with your life?
You can find me at all the major comedy clubs up and down the country. And I should also be in Edinburgh
doing this
at, what was it, 11:15?
11:20.
11:20 every night. 11:15 is when I have to be there. No, I'm just joking.
You know I can't do the tech. Don't do that to me. Last time I passive-aggressively broke my own foot.
Yeah, I know. Just because I put a table out. And I'm doing my own show, You Could Have It So Much Better, every day, 9:20, at Up the Road, Just the Tonic.
Amazing. And we'll see Kate there as well. So between us all, hopefully we can reconvene.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
While Rufus lives the circus life. And this has been Comedy Arcade. This has probably been the weirdest one I've ever done. So well done, everybody. It's been...
interesting. Keeps you interesting.
Quite a journey, hasn't it? This is the dream. I will see you all very soon. You are now free to go. Thanks for listening to The Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us any way you can, and subscribe, and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't like it, I've been Sean Walsh, and this is What's Upset You Now. The USP is, it's only 15 minutes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.